Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Weekends were made for sports.
Now do the robot voice. I want to hear it again.
Meet more, sir. Robot.
That's a terrible robot voice.
A look at the weekend in sports with the inside story on the Blazers, the Ducks, and the Beavers.
Everyone, meet freelance alien bounty hunter, Shannon Sharp.
Shannon Sharp? The football guy?
Yeah, I hunt aliens now. Used to catch TDs, now I catch ETs.
You ever caught an alien, Shannon?
Not yet, Mr. Question, but I'll let you know when I do.
This is Sports Sunday with Mike Lynch.
Where are the turtles? Come on, guys, get out of here.
Where are the turtles?
And Rashad Taylor.
Nobody calls me Lebowski. You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
On 1080 The Fan.
Joe Fisher here, sitting in for Mike Lynch on Sports Sunday. Rashad Taylor across the glass. Of course he's here with me on Sunday. He's always here.
Oh, well, I'm supposed to be most of the time.
Hey, since I've joined the show, you've been here every time. Mike.
Yeah, well, Mike's a bit of a slacker.
I need 4 days off.
Mike is a bit of a slacker, if you didn't know. But, yeah. You didn't hear that from me, though, folks.
So, it is me leading this ship. Last hour, we talked a little bit NBA. We talked about the match between Tiger and Phil, Peyton Manning and them. Hopefully it goes down. Apparently there's thunderstorms in the area. But I wanted to get to the NFL because there is a new proposal, as Roger Goodell would say, about what they want to do with the onside kick rule. And it's basically get rid of it and replace it with a 4th and 15. And how that would work, Rashad, is instead of trying to recover an onside kick, the team would have the option of attempting. And so the way I read this, maybe they would have the choice, but it seems like any team would obviously take the 4th and 15 option. But they would have the ball at their own 25-yard line. If they convert the 4th and 15, they get a first down, keep possession of the ball. Obviously, if they don't get the 15-yard, the team would take over possession from wherever the play ended. So the NFL, thinking about getting rid of the onside kick and replacing it with a 4th and 15. Rashad, thoughts?
Where's the kick, or where's the 4th and 15 supposed to take place?
At the 25-yard line. And then if they don't convert, it turns over wherever the ball was. So if they gain 10 yards, they'll get the ball at the 35, the other team. So
on their own 35?
Well, like an onside kick, if you know the team gets the that is receiving, recovers it, they usually get it about the their 35, 40. So that's essentially where they would get it if the team doesn't convert it.
Wow.
Anywhere between the 40 and, you know, shorter than that.
Okay, I was just making sure I got all the information again before I said how much I hated it. I think it's a silly idea. I'm not one for changing the rules, the fundamental rules of what the game is supposed to be. Like, I'm not, well, let's just make the rim 9.5 feet. Like, why not? You know what I mean? Like, hey, all of a sudden we'll see Trae Young dunk, right? Like, certain people will get a chance to, like, I don't.
4-point shot.
Let's add a 4-point shot, you know, which that might be okay, depending on where, seriously, depending, Dame is shooting from right there, you might as well give him another point for it. Like, if you can pull up and make it from there,
yeah.
I say, why not? I think that's a bad idea. Just on a side note, that's a bad idea because I work with a lot of kids, and kids already shoot a 3-pointer like they want to be Steph. So if you move,
I'm
back,
sure your son does it. My son does it too, and it drives me nuts.
My son, not so much. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm always telling him, just take the layup, just take 2 dribbles and pull up.
How old's your kid?
He's 8.
Okay, he's got a year on my son, and you know, last year was his first basketball season, and that's what I was trying to teach him. So hopefully, he's not trying to go Logo Lillard next year. But
hey man, I
hear you though.
We get buckets at the rim. Let's do that.
Exactly.
That's how we're gonna make this happen. I'm looking at something like changing the onside rule. And mind you, they want to do this because the probability of actually recovering an onside kick is pretty low. Right, I think I want to say, was it like a 3% chance, some like 8%, something incredibly small.
I got the numbers if you want them.
What are the numbers?
So, and this is they changed because they changed the rule on onside kicks that teams couldn't get a running start anymore,
okay, and yeah, that was
I believe after the 2018 after the 2017 season. So 2018 was the first year that they had the new rule of where the onside kicking team can't get the running start. And they converted four in the NFL. Only four of 53 onside kicks were converted. That's 7.5%. Now get this. Before that rule, in 2017, it was 21.7% recovered. They got 13 of 60. In 2019, the onside rate went up actually to 12.5%. But keep in mind, two of those were in one game, the Falcons 49ers game, which, I mean, that was just like, well, getting one is one thing, but getting two in one game, that's pretty rare. So, but basically, since they changed the rule, it has been extremely hard to get an onside kick, much more so than it used to be in the past.
No, yeah. And I've just changing that, like you said, changing the fact that you could run up as the kicker was running, like that changed everything because obviously you're getting momentum going forward. That's going to help. But they kept it. And I still think you can still make that happen. You can still recover an onside kick. I think the cool part about it is even when it was like 21% of the teams that were actually recovering it, that's still not a lot. So you still had, you know, I guess it's a lot, but we didn't see it as often even then. Like, I remember when we saw it in the Super Bowl between the Colts and the Saints.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things that, changed the game. And it changed everything.
Really, when you think of onside kicks, that was a kind of like a surprise onside kick. That's not the one that it's like, all right, we're lining up here forward, you know, to try and get this possession back late in the fourth quarter. A little bit different circumstances.
Yeah. I guess you're right. Those are definitely different circumstances. But I guess what I'm saying is the energy like changed that fast.
100%.
An onside kick, like it demoralizes the kicking team and it rejuvenates the team that's receiving.
100%.
Like all of a sudden you go like the pendulum kind of swings from there. And so that will be one of those things that you kind of take away. And I guess I'm an old, you know, fuddy in the terms of that because I'm not one for seeing the game that I love and games that I, you know, play and everything to see them change like that. And I understand with evolution, things are naturally going to change, but there's certain things that like, yeah, okay, we made the game safer by taking the running start away. I'm good with that. Like that's fine. We don't see as many collisions and as many concussions, man. That's cool. That's another way to make the game safer, you know. However, completely taking away the onside kick to make it a fourth. I mean, what if they gave the option? Like that would be cool. Like you can go do this, or you can go fourth and 15. I think it's probably be longer, but whatever, you know. So, because fourth and 15, also that can happen. You know, 15 yards with a guy like Odell Beckham or Julio Jones or Saquon Barkley that's, you know, lining up at as a receiver, like. Fourth and 15 can happen, no problem. You know, so if you're going to do that, you're going to make it more difficult, maybe move it back just a little.
Well, Andy Reid even said, like, about the fourth and 15 rule. He's like, yeah, we got a guy that can do that.
Yeah, oh, really? Seriously. And if you're the Chiefs, man, you got a couple. Like, yeah. Man, fourth and 15, roll out. Oh, there's Tariq Hill, wide open. Like, that's not the Chiefs get 15 yards just on average. That's what they do on second down.
And
no problem.
That's one thing to think of with like offenses these days. It's just like a 15-yard play. I mean, that's not as hard as you think it is.
It's really not. And that's the thing. Like it seems like you're making which is easier, converting a fourth and 15 or recovering an onside kick.
And this is where someone looked at the numbers. Relatively small sample size last season in 2019. There was only 7 fourth and 15 attempts, which I'm guessing I don't know if it's just right on fourth and 15 exactly, is my guess. Only two of them were converted, but someone went from 2015 to 2019 and looked at all the fourth and 15s, and there was about a 24% conversion rate on them. So I think the NFL is just trying to get back to that, you know, there's a better chance than what we have now with only 7% of onside kicks. We want to get back to that. There is that 1 in 4 chance maybe of the team taking over, getting the ball back. But as I mentioned, 4th and 15 nowadays doesn't seem, I mean, 15 yards is not that, it's not astronomical. It's not like, oh, you're done.
No, so, especially with this pass happy NFL that we have, the fact that you can't touch the receiver, the fact that you can't touch the quarterback like that, like you're making it pretty easy for teams at that point, just in my opinion.
And now, granted, every team would run into this situation probably at some point where they have to go for it and try and do this onside 4th and 15, however you want to call it. But you wonder if the bad teams are going to be in these predicaments more, and if they're going to have a quarterback that is really going to be able to convert those 4th and 15s. You know, do you see the Chiefs in a lot of these situations? Probably not. Do you see the better quarterbacks around the league in a deficit to where they're 2 possessions down and they have to pull this? Probably not. So maybe the teams with worse quarterback situations are going to be put in this situation, and they won't convert as much because their quarterback sucks.
Man, Mitch Trubisky is never going to convert this. Like, we know that off top.
Yeah. So what I want to get to next is, because it blew up this week, and obviously with me being the resident Cowboy fan, we have got to talk about Dak's contract talks. And we will get to that next on 1080 The Fan.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
Joe Fisher here, sitting in for Mike Lynch on Sports Sunday. Rashad Taylor, of course, here as well. Man, the Ozarks. Ozarks. They're
kicking it.
It's getting lit over there. I guess you could say, man, if you haven't seen, people are showing up to the Lake of the Ozarks in droves. And, again, apparently COVID-19 is over, according to them. So living their best lives out there in the Ozarks.
Yeah, I suppose, man, not concerned. What coronas? What does that mean? You know? So, I mean, if you're okay with it, then I say go for it, as long as you know you're safe. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know what to say to
people.
I don't even know what to say. Like, I want to be optimistic, but, and I want to tell people to live, but I just can't do that right now. So sorry. Like, just take your time and chill on your own. If you go to the state park, make sure you don't go to the biggest one where everybody is. Like, let's figure out a way to still make this thing happen. But I don't know. That seems careless to me.
Yeah, what I'm talking about is, there was a video that surfaced of like an outdoor bar swimming pool set up in the Lake of the Ozarks out in Missouri, which is known for its summertime activities. If you've ever been there or watched the show Ozarks, they talk about it in that too. My grandpa lives in that area, so I'm just hoping he does not go venture out anytime soon. He's got enough property where he can keep himself occupied. So I'm hoping he's not mingling with the people around the Ozarks.
He's out here kicking it. We got some shorties with him. They're doing they're doing some beer bongs.
No, but my grandpa would probably see that video and, what the hell are they doing out there? He would be disgusted. What I'm disgusted with is all this slander towards my boy Dak, though, and him reportedly turning down $35 million a year. But then people coming out and then saying, no, he didn't turn it down. They're still in contract talks. But that was the big story from earlier this week, is that Dak was offered $35 million a year and then he turned it down. Now, Todd Archer, the Cowboys reporter for ESPN, he's come out and he's said that that is what's being basically thrown out to Dak in contract talks, $35 million a year, $110 million guaranteed, which would put him in the Dak or the Jared Goff range. But I mean, me personally, I just wish he would sign the damn franchise tag and just play this year on the franchise tag, because it is, when I look at the top 10 paid quarterbacks in the league, He fits right in about that number five, number four range for me. And I'll read them off to you, Rashad, and you can tell me if...
Wait, I'm sorry. Start over. You just said Dak Prescott is the what, the where? Am I tripping? Did you say four to five range?
When I'm looking at the top 10 paid quarterbacks in the league...
I'm talking to you, Jim.
he's leaving the studio. Leaving the studio. Done. When I look at the 10 quarterbacks, and when I'll read them to you, and you can tell me one by one if Dak should be paid more or less than them, okay?
Sure.
All right. So, at number 10, and this is will surprise you that this is the 10th highest paid quarterback in the league, Colts quarterback Jacoby Brissett. He's getting paid $28 million a year.
I like Jacoby Brissett.
Over Dak.
Man, listen, Jacoby Brissett it was a no-win situation for him in Indianapolis. And what do you know? He made something out of nothing. Jacoby Brissett was also on one of the two quarterbacks that ended up winning a game or a couple games for the Patriots when Brady was out for four games. Man, Jacoby's shown me more on the field than Dak has as far as being the leader of a team
okay.
quarterback. But I digress.
Okay.
But for the sake of winning, Dak has won more. It's been in the playoffs, so I'll say Dak.
All right, number nine, just signed the new deal. Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill.
Dak.
Okay, thank you.
That's easy.
Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan at $30 million a year. And right now, if Dak were to play next season on the franchise tag, he would be right around there as well at 30.1. Carson Wentz.
Yes, Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz almost won the MVP before he got hurt and then came back and was phenomenal and got hurt.
I'll just tell you to go take a look at his turnover numbers, but I digress. What about Kirk Cousins, number five at $33 million?
Kirk Cousins.
And then you're getting into Jared Goff at 33.5. Number four, he's tied for third with Aaron Rodgers, where I'll even say I'll take Aaron Rodgers over Dak. But
man, see, and this is what I feel kind of about Dak Prescott, about Jared Goff.
You feel like they're in the same boat, kind of.
Yeah, he's just extra regular. There's nothing special about him.
Extra regular.
Yeah, seriously. Like, I mean, there's nothing special about him. He's not terrible, but he's not, like, great. He's not, like, the best. I don't want to say he's not a great leader, you know, because that might be his best quality is that he's a pretty good leader. But, yeah, Dak just on the field doesn't do much for me. So I'm going to go ahead and say that's a wash. But they're about the same player, if you ask me.
All right, and then you finish up the list with Rodgers, 30. I said he's
Rodgers.
Rodgers and Goff.
Aaron.
Yeah, they're making the same amount, Goff and Rodgers. Number two, Big Ben Roethlisberger.
Big Ben still.
$34 million.
Big Ben
next
still.
Season.
Absolutely. Was phenomenal last year, you know, as the, or at least before, you know, he got hurt and everything. But yeah, Big Ben.
And then you got Seahawks, Russell Wilson, obviously, $35 million a year.
Danger Wilson.
So, your Dak slander is killing me right now.
It's not slander. It's just what it is, man. Like Dak Prescott is, you know who he liked? Tyrod Taylor. That's who I think about when I think of Dak Prescott. Tyrod Taylor wasn't a bad player. You know, Tyrod Taylor took that Bills team to the playoffs. Tyrod is a leader, you know what I'm saying? But somebody that would put the ball in some unfamiliar situations and cause some turnovers every now and then, wouldn't throw the ball down the field a lot of time, which is what people kind of picked on Tyrod Taylor for. Didn't have the greatest offensive line. That's not the case for Dak. Didn't have the greatest run game, although Shady McCoy was good, but not great. That's not the case for Dak. Didn't have a great receiving core. He had Sammy Watkins. I think that was like his best receiver at
Man,
a point.
The Cowboys good. Are so good at getting good players.
But that's what I'm saying. They get good players, and because they have such good players, Dak should be much better than he is. That's what I'm saying. Like with all those good guys around him, great running game. You had a great tight end. You have an elite defensive line. Like you should be much better than you are. You are the weak link on your team right now. That's just what on the offense of all the players I just named, Dak is the worst one.
Man.
Is he better than Amari Cooper?
Coming into the Sunday show, I didn't know I was going to get hurt so bad.
Listen, I'm a Patriots fan, right? You're a Cowboys fan.
Yeah.
Arguably the two most hated teams, yeah. Not even arguably, the two most hated teams in football.
Right.
By far. But also the two teams that people talk about most. For whatever reason, Dallas has picked to win the Super Bowl every single year. And I'm like, have y'all not been watching the Cowboys play for a little bit? Man, but yet and still they talk about him. So we talk about Dallas ad nauseum. So that's why I'm like able to say, yeah, man, no.
Hey, a lot of viewers in the Dallas-Fort Worth area of SportsCenter, okay? They got to get those ratings. All right, then realistically, in the per-year salary range, what do you think Dak should be getting paid?
I mean, if they got the money, give them – every team needs a quarterback. If you got the money, give it to them. Give them the 50 – give them the – what is $57
million? It was – my God, if they had
it was
35 per year. That was what was being rumored, which would put him on par with Russell Wilson.
Oh, it's 110
mil is the guaranteed.
Thank you. Man, hey, if you got it, give it to him. And you're Dallas, so you have it. You need a quarterback. I'm not saying Dak is a bad quarterback, but I mean, you need he's a top 15 guy, no problem. And I think being top 15 gives you a chance to at least make the playoffs, you know what I'm saying, with everything that you have around you. If you have the money, pay Dak, but you have to think about what it's going to do in the long run for you. So at least if you know you have your trigger man, if you really feel like Dak Prescott can get better, do you think he can get better over the next 2 years, 3 years, and be the guy that everybody thinks that he can be in Dallas?
I think so. Well, certainly.
Then you got to pay him, right?
Yeah, and that's that's the thing with contracts is that you're paying for what they've obviously done, but more so what you want them to do going forward. And granted, to say that the Dak Prescott contract, while he might sign it, it might not be one of the bigger ones for much longer because you got Mahomes coming up. If Lamar Jackson's able to repeat what he did from last year, that's going to be another big contract. Deshaun Watson, he's going to be looking for his contract here soon, and you know he'll get a big one there. At this point, I want all the talk to be over and Dak just to finally put pen to paper and just get this all over with.
Well, the best thing he can do is come out there and kill. At this point, with all the naysayers and everything, like Dak Prescott can come right out there and kill. Because guess what? I think the better quarterback is on the bench. We're being real. Yeah.
Is this my life? Is this what's happening?
Man,
right now?
You tell me the Red Rocket isn't better than Dak Prescott.
I won't. I'm not going to admit that.
See? Okay.
I'm not going to do that.
Okay. Well,
I won't go that far. I mean, I like me some Andy Dalton. He's nice. Nice little quarterback there. But I'm not going as far as saying that he's better as Dak. Not yet.
No. Okay. Well,
who knows? He's back in his home state of Texas. He might feel more comfortable, and if he gets his chance.
Yeah. No, Andy Dalton wasn't the biggest problem with the Bengals.
I'm not going that far.
Andy Dalton wasn't the problem with the Bengals. They had multiple problems. He wasn't it.
All right. I'm cutting this Dak slander short. I'm sick of it. And also, of course, over again. But when we come back in this crazy coronavirus times that we're living in, these tough times, we have a couple baseball stadiums that are doing some cool things, and it leads me to a question that I want to ask Rashad about what he would do. So we will get to that next, but first, SportsCenter update by me.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
Joe Fisher here sitting in for Mike Lynch. Rashad Taylor across the glass from me. And I didn't plan for a hate it or love it. And we're not going to do it because I like it when, you know, we have the multiple people. We can do the scoring. But this is one of my favorite beats of all time.
It is a great beat, man. This is my favorite song from the games. Best album, the documentary.
Yes, sir. Seventh grade. This was
you were a seventh grader?
Seventh grader.
Wow, you're dating me, Joe. You're dating me, fam. I was I was 23 when this came out.
Yep, seventh grade.
22, 23.
This was big at Hazelbrook Middle School in Tualatin, man.
I was living in Vegas, man, when this album came out, man. This was my soundtrack.
So, no hate it or love it, but I did want to get to some feel-good stories, if you will, about the coronavirus.
And love feeling good.
And what some baseball stadiums are doing to basically stay open, get some revenue stream, you know, still do their thing. And one of them is a Double-A team, the Pensacola Blue Wahoos. Yes, that is a real team name.
All right.
One of my favorite things to do is take quizzes about minor league teams and if, like, the team is a real team or not. They give me, like, a fake name, and I have to guess, is that an actual minor league team or not? Because there's just so damn many. But, yes, Pensacola Blue Wahoos, real team. They are listing their stadium on Airbnb. And you may wonder, wait, how does that work? How do you list an entire stadium on Airbnb? Well, what they're doing is for $1,500 per night, Rashad, up to 10 guests are granted access to the stadium, which includes use of the team's clubhouse, batting cage, and field, along with a batting practice setup.
Okay.
So $1,500 per night, you can take you and nine of your buddies or whoever you want, and basically you're having to sleep over at a baseball stadium.
That's awesome. I'm in. Like you said, it's $1,500?
$1,500 a night.
Oh,
You split that up between four or five guys?
I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's up to 10 guests. So exactly. If you take four or five, I mean, that's just,
man,
you know.
Do you know the wiffle ball we're going to play at the stadium that night? You know, some late night games a la Sandlot? Like, please, we're absolutely doing that. If it's only $1,500, that's one person's stimulus check and another $300, man. I think we can make that happen.
Now I do have to throw in the plus fees because the Airbnb, that's where they get you. It's $1,500 per night, but plus fees, you're probably looking at $2,000.
Where do you cook, or where do you, like, cause the point of an Airbnb a lot of time is like, man, I've got a place to like make our own food if we need to, or shower. It sounds like I'm just able to come here and sleep on the field, which again, cool experience, but what's all the extra fees for?
Yeah, do they get catering or something like that?
Yeah, I'm saying, like, where's the food coming from? Where are the restrooms and showers that I'm supposed to use? Like, do I get access to the locker rooms and stuff too?
Get a bedroom next to the clubhouse, sleeps 10, and a staff member will stay on site for security and to answer questions. I'd have to pull up another article to see if they're what the food amenities are like, but this made me start to think, if you could basically have a sleepover in one sports stadium or like facility, or basically get to do what they're doing, what would it be? And I know what mine is. And if you need a couple seconds to think, I can go first.
Yeah, go ahead and go first. I think I have a pretty good idea of what mine would be.
No question, Autzen Stadium. Because if I'm getting access to the stadium and the facilities and like all the stuff that the players get access to, and I mean, they have like a barber shop, they got video game rooms, ping pong rooms. I mean, I think they might, I know Clemson's facility, they have a damn like mini putt area. So if I get access to the stadium and also the facility, then, I'm all in for Autzen Stadium. If I'm not getting access to the facility and being able to do all that other stuff, then...
Well, if it's access to the facility, and it's Jerry World for me. Like, I mean, number one, playing Madden on that the Jumbotron up there would be amazing. And the thing about Jerry World is, man, you've got bars and you've got clubs and you've got all types of stuff that are, you know, just amenities of the stadium. So,
this makes me wonder, is everybody on staff for those things? Like, if I go to a restaurant up in Section 600, will there be, you know, people ready to wait on my team and I, you know, my buddies? That honestly, you might have just totally shot down my odds and idea with that AT&T stadium. Man, I didn't even think of the video game possibilities with the big screen.
Man, when I was playing Madden 3 nights ago, playing against the Cowboys and, you know, playing AT&T, it's like, man, even on a video game, it looks dope. Yeah, right. It just looks so cool. So I'm like, man, if there is any time I got a chance to stay the night or do some stuff there, and please, I'm absolutely staying at AT&T. Jerry World would be my pick.
I think, you know, just staying the night in any, like, classic stadium, like Madison Square Garden or something like that would be sick. But I have this weird rule with AT&T Stadium that I don't ever want to go there unless it's for a Cowboy game. Like, if I ever end up in Dallas or something like that for some reason or another, and it's during a time where they're not playing, I don't want to go take an AT&T stadium tour or something like that. Like, oh, here's these empty seats. Here's that big screen that's nothing on it right now. It's like, nah, if I'm going to go to AT&T stadium, it's not going to be for just, oh, this is nice. Like, I'm going for a Cowboys game filled, and hopefully that will be sooner rather than later. I mean, NFL says that that's going to happen this season. Full stadiums.
Like, if you got a chance and really, and even if we're talking about, man, older venues and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like the Boston Garden would have been cool, you know, for a night, or even the old LA Forum, you know, would have been a cool place to just kind of not now. But at a point, the Memorial Coliseum was cool. Like now, I just feels like it's haunted and creepy every time I'm there.
So. Right, I went there for a Winterhawks game just before this all happened, and that was probably the first time I had been there in 10 years. And I now know what everyone talks about now. I mean, it when I went, I was probably 15, 16 the last time I was there, and since then I just heard all the things about the Memorial Coliseum, and so I was like, all right, let's check this out. Oh, okay. I get what people are talking about.
Yeah, just a little bit. So
the Glass Palace, man.
Yeah, there's some cool places that I would, you know, I would really have to think about that, but just off the top, Jerry World and I don't know, Rose Garden, or excuse me, Moda Center isn't a bad place.
Right. Jeez. And also the Daytona Tortugas. Another real team, high A affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds. They play their games at Jackie Robinson Ballpark. And the other night, they had a socially distant viewing of 42 at Jackie Robinson Park.
Nice.
So they had, you know, 6 foot, everything kind of marked off, which hopefully is all good. And they did their part in making sure that everything was safe and all good there. But they did on their big old screen board, they put the movie on there for families to come through and watch that. And also that Pensacola Blue Wahoos, they allowed a men's baseball league to play games there yesterday. And they're playing games there today, too. So I don't know when the Airbnb starts up and when you can start renting that out. But right now they're letting their field be used by the men's baseball league in Pensacola. And they're going to be raking in that Airbnb money, too.
Hey man, smart move, you know, by them to open up. Man, they got to figure out a way to make money somehow. And albeit $1,500 a night, I'll take it.
Hey, man, services and fees, I'm telling you, it's going to be pushed over $2,000. I'm almost want to jump on the Airbnb during the break and see if they have it listed yet to see what the cost would be.
Yeah, let's total. Let's check on that.
But, AT&T Stadium, I think that has to be the go-to. You totally blew my world with that one. I was thinking Autzen, no question. Didn't even think about AT&T Stadium.
It's the nicest, newest, you know, one that they have. Like, yeah, that's the one that I would probably spend my time in for the night.
All right. So we got one more segment to go. As we do, we'll figure it out on Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
We made it, Rashad.
We did it, Joe. You did it, man.
We don't need no Mike.
No, we don't need him. Mike who? Mike who? Speaking of Mikes, did you see Mike Tyson last night show up to the AEW pay-per-view and have a back and forth with Jake the Snake Roberts?
What?
Yeah.
What year is it?
It feels like it's 94 all over again. However, last night, Mike Tyson, and he took his shirt off. He just wanted to show everybody, like, I'm still in great shape, or I'm in great shape now. And
I saw him trending on Twitter because of some, the belt he introduced or something? Like, he introduced a new belt at the wrestling event or something? I don't know. That's the only thing.
Oh, yeah, that was for last night. That was at the AEW event. Yes.
Yeah, that was the only thing I saw why he was trending is because he debuted a new belt.
You didn't see him trending because he's a badass and he's Mike Tyson and he's punching stuff again?
I feel like I've been seeing that once a week now of him just like coaching random bros in different places and just like, no, you got to do this and you got to, and then he just,
that's a great Mike Tyson voice. Man.
He just goes off and you're like, oh my God.
Man, okay, so let me ask you this, Joe. And if there's any fellas out there, you know, on the text line, man, make sure you text back. So you and your lady are somewhere fun, you know, enjoying yourself, having a good old time, a grand old time. And you see Mike Tyson. And Mike Tyson grabs your girl on her butt.
Uh-oh.
And not just in like not a good game kind of grab, but
like an
grab
aggressive
squeeze.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then afterwards looks you right in your eyes, man. What do you do? Do you just let that go? Because I'm sure your girl's going to tell you to walk away. Do you let it go or do you defend yourself?
Kick his ass, Joe.
I mean, you don't have a choice. Like, listen, that's a fight that you know you're going to lose.
Oh, yeah. I would
just the pride in you, you have to do that.
I would basically, you know, she's raising a fuss. Are you going to do something about this? What are you doing? And I'm like, I'll explain later why I'm going to do absolutely nothing about this. I'll give you context later. Okay, let's just continue on our date. Oh. You know, when we get home, that's a whole nother conversation. And show her some YouTube videos.
Yeah, but you know those, your arguments are never going to be show her. Because every single time that you think that you're going to get aggressive with your voice, she'll say, why didn't you talk to Mike Tyson like that? And then all of a sudden, now you're back in this small place. So I think as a man, you got to take that ass whooping, man.
Because no here's the cool way.
Part. I'm going to the bank afterwards because I'm suing you. But if for two things, number one, you just sexually harassed my lady. Number two, you hit me in the stomach because I'm going down like sack of potatoes the minute he hits me, and it's going to be over. But I'm saying you have to do something. My manhood won't allow me. Me and my friends argue about this all the time. Like, man, that's Mike Tyson. It's like, bro, I don't care. Like, I have to, like, you'll never be able to live that down. This is one of those things that will always hover over you like a bad credit score.
You know, obviously it depends on the lady's reaction that I'm with, but if anything, I'm taking it as somewhat of a badge of honor saying, hey, Mike Tyson thinks my girl's got the goods, gave her a nice little swat there. So that's the angle I would try to take with it.
Yeah, my girl's so fine. Mike Tyson slapped her on it. Leah, no, I don't want to take that angle. It's just one of those things. Like, that's all I would think about.
What is it? Like, the longest yard when, Adam Sandler, he shows up to the golf course and he's like, I think my wife and you got together.
With my wife.
And he's like, oh, sorry about that. He's like, no, are you kidding me? My wife slept with the whole crew.
We got a text here on the text line that says, my pride won't let me step down. However, I'll end up like homie from The Hangover. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, because we know, you know, your ass is going to be whooped. There's nothing you can do about that. Like, he's Mike Tyson. And let's just be honest. Floyd Mayweather more than likely is going to beat you up if it's like that.
I like how you say more than likely.
I mean, depending on how big you are, but Floyd Mayweather is still a professional. I saw this fool doing neck exercise. I don't think all boxers do it, but he was doing neck exercise where he had a weird kind of like, you know, old leather football helmet type thing, and it had weights
attached to it.
And he was just moving his neck like that. Anybody that's preparing their neck to be, you know, knocked or the head to be knocked off their shoulders, man, is ready for a fight. So if Floyd Mayweather swings on you, more than likely, you're gonna get beat up by Floyd too. So any professional great fighter, I'm not saying anybody, but any professional great fighter is probably beating you up in that situation. But again, for your pride, I can't let it go. Man, I gotta make a move.
I'm going for a shin kick, if anything. That's my first move.
And you're running?
Kicking him in the shin and then getting the hell out of there.
So do you take the first swing? Technically, he's taking the first swing. If he just grabbed my girl by the backside, technically, he's just stepped the line. So I have to at that point. And if not, I'm just going to look like I'm about to swing on him and wait for him to hit me. I don't know how self-defense works. And I think in different places, it's going to look differently. But if you touch my girl, then we have a problem.
And this could be easier for me right now because I don't have a girlfriend.
Well, let's just make believe and say you do. You know what I mean? Like that's what we're doing right now. We're just make believe. And I think
if my girl reacts,
like I'm getting angry thinking about it now.
Get more Mike Tyson. How dare you? Yeah, I think that I would just basically be like, baby, no, just it's fine, it's fine. Just like no, and like please, just watch these videos on my phone real quick of who that was.
Yeah.
I would show her what he says to reporters at press conferences.
Do you swing or just take the ground? Man, I'm going to take a swing. I'm going to allow him to swing on me, but
I mean, if we're speaking hypothetical and I got to like, it's like, no, you got to go. You got to go fight for her honor. You got to stand up to him. Then, I mean, yeah, I'm taking the swing right at the face, but it's not going to end well. Do you realize that his hands could probably kill a man? Bare knuckle.
They're registered as weapons, yes, sir.
Bare knuckle, that could end a man's life. And that's where it's like, I'm good.
Yeah, so Mike Tyson is one of those dudes I definitely don't want any type of problems with. But there are certain situations to where, as a man, like, I've got to say something. I mean, there's no way I can let this go because the way my girl is going to look at me following this event is going to that's going to be bad. So I have to do this. And I know I'm going to get knocked out. I'm probably going to lose some teeth, maybe even a neck, you know, injury of
or
some sort.
Die.
Yeah, or possibly death. You know, either way, I know we're getting paid after this is over.
You know, that was always my theory in, like, high school and stuff, is that if any, like, bigger guy wanted to mess with me, and I think I even said it to one person at one point, like, go for it. I've seen your house. I'm ready for that lawsuit.
Yeah, seriously, like, man, how much do you really like that car of yours? Like, go ahead and swing on me. And if you're Mike Tyson, you got a record and you've got a criminal past. I am waiting for that smoke. Yeah. I've been wanting somebody to, like Mike Tyson, to punch me in the face so I can get paid for a while.
I think in that situation, I'm probably doing everything that you shouldn't do, yelling for help. Help! Someone just touched my girlfriend.
No, the minute he puts his hands on me, I'm going, man, again, oh my God. Like, I'm doing all that stuff.
I'm going to flop like LeBron if he even gets near me, just, and just fall to the ground.
That's what you do. Officer, security.
Make a big old scene.
Security, please help. That's exactly what I'm doing.
Ah, man. Well, hopefully you don't ever run into Mike Tyson doing that to you or your significant other. And hopefully you enjoy the rest of your Memorial Day. It looks like the weather is decent.
72 today.
Let's go. Let's go. I might have to go hack up the middle school grass a little bit more after the show.
Hurt that.
Work on that golf stroke.
Yeah. I'm going to work on my stroke too.
Yeah. I mean, golf's exploding, man. You should definitely work on that stroke, among other things.
Oh, yeah, golf. That's what I was talking
about. Oh, yeah, right. Rashad, thank you for...
thank you, Joe. Great job.
Chilling
always,
with me.
Bro.
You know, it's the Memorial Day Sunday. You could have taken the day off, too, and you didn't. So I appreciate you being here with me.
Oh, of course, man. You're a blast, man. I had a good time, bro.
All right. For Joe Fisher and Rashad Taylor, Mike Lynch will be back next week. All three of us will be here. Again, enjoy your Memorial Day Sunday, and thanks for listening to Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.